having me, and I appreciate the kind invitation to be here to speak this morning. We're going to do a little something different where I would love for us to stand together firstly. Why don't we all stand? And if you've got your Bibles open, keep your Bibles open in your hand as well. And what I would love for us to do is to read out this psalm together, Psalm 23. Read it out together as a community of believers, as if we were declaring it to one another. So why don't we do that? So after three, one, two, three. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thanks, guys. Why don't you take a seat? I noticed that some of us have different translations there. This is the new NIV I got here. The next thing I like... Next thing that I want us to do together is for you to read this psalm right now in your own hearts, quietly. And once you finish doing that, I want you to then afterwards pray this psalm to God as if they were your very own words to God. So why don't you do that? And after that, I'll pray for our time together. So take a moment. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time together this morning. We pray, Father, that you would help us by your Spirit to understand you even more than what we already do, and that we can be greatly comforted in knowing that you are our good shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Psalm 23 is one of the most loved psalms of our time because of the soothing imagery it gives of God's guidance and comfort to those who have been confronted with the most difficult seasons of life. In fact, this psalm has been so popular that it's crossed over even into pop culture, where it's been referenced in movies such as Titanic and The Book of Eli, X-Men, The Magnificent Seven, and an old movie in the 90s called The Bodyguard. And it's been quoted by rappers such as Kanye West, to Coolio, to rock bands such as Good Charlotte and Pink Floyd. On the evening of the September 11 attacks in 2001, George W. Bush, in his address to the nation, quoted from this psalm as a source of comfort for the American public who were still in a state of shock after what had just happened in New York City. But now the problem with passages that are so popular and familiar to us is that we can sometimes lose the power of its meaning because our minds become numb to familiarity, kind of like the song that you've heard that you once loved, that you heard it that many times on the radio to the point where you get sick of it, you don't like it anymore. And that can happen with scripture as well, with familiar passages. And that is a dangerous approach when it comes to scripture, given how remarkable this psalm actually is, and the wonderful portrait that it gives about who God is and the nature of what a close relationship with him looks like. My goodness, it is bucketing down, isn't it? I'll try and talk over it. But while we're on that, I want you to consider this morning, what does a personal and intimate relationship with God look like practically to you this morning? Well, the author of this psalm, David, gives us two images of what God is like. The first image he gives is that God is our shepherd. And the second image he gives is that God is our gracious host who invites us to take part in a lavish meal that he has prepared for us. So we're going to be spending some time this morning looking at both of these images of God and what they mean for us today. So if you can keep your Bibles open, if you can turn with me to verse 1, where the author begins by firstly declaring that the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Well, so far in the Psalms, God has often been described as being a king or a deliverer, or in more impersonal terms, as being our rock or our shield. But in this particular psalm, David gives us a very personal image of God, which is quite remarkable. And that is that he is also our shepherd. Now, obviously, many of us grew up in the city. We live in the city, and because of that, it's more difficult for us to understand the richness of this image of God as being our shepherd. Because perhaps the only time that we see sheep is, I don't know if you watch Shaun the Sheep, or if you travel to New Zealand for a holiday, is the only time that you see sheep. But for the ancient Israelites, who was David's original audience in this psalm, it's who he's writing to, they were very familiar with the ways of sheep and their shepherds. And likewise, if I were to use this analogy of God amongst those who live in the rural areas of Africa, or even the northern part of Vietnam where I visited last year, this imagery of God being like a shepherd would impact them greatly, because it's much closer to home for them than it is for us. But what does it mean for God to be our shepherd? Well, turn with me to verses 2-3, where the psalmist says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." Now, when David wrote this psalm, the lands of the Bible were largely underdeveloped, where it was dry and rocky with hardly any grass or water on it. And what that meant was that the shepherds had to lead their sheep on long journeys from one place to another in order to arrive at a place where there would be green pastures, where there would be grass and water, so that his sheep could eat and drink. So the role of a good shepherd was to provide everything that his flock needed in times of hunger and thirst, and to also lead them to a place where they could find rest from that long journey. And in the same way, when David says that God is our shepherd, he's saying that God provides everything that we need. He cares for us. He is concerned for our welfare. And he acts and does everything in accordance with his love for you and I. Notice all the verbs that you see in verses 2-3, if you look there, in what God proactively does for us. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me. He refreshes me. And he guides me. Thanks, Ben. I just want to show you the first image here. And it's a wonderful image, isn't it, of God's active care and provision for his sheep. Which is why David is then able to say in verse 4 with such confidence that even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You can take it off, Ben. Thanks, mate. Now, along the journey, it was often necessary for the shepherd to take his sheep through the ravines, which is basically a deep and narrow gorge with steep, rocky hills on both sides and a rocky and rugged footpath that you had to walk on for extended periods of time. And what made the journey almost unbearable for the sheep was the rising heat at the bottom of the ravine that made it exhausting for the sheep, as well as the darkness that loomed over you because the cliff walls on both sides blocked out any sunlight from coming in. And on top of that, there was no grass or water in the deep valleys. And the whole flock of sheep had to struggle up the steep slopes of the canyon, risking their lives in order to proceed on towards the pastures and waters where the shepherd was leading them to. Now, the image that David presents of God here is that even in our darkest moments, when you struggle to get out of bed in the morning because you have lost hope, when it becomes almost unbearable to continue, where there is no sign of better days ahead of you, he says that God, your shepherd, is present with you. Our shepherd walks with us through the darkest valleys, and he continues to lead and guide us towards the green pastures, even when the journey is difficult. His rod is used as a guide to keep us on the right path and to prevent us from going astray, from walking away from him. And his staff is used to protect us from evil and to strike any beast or any form of evil that would want to come and attack and injure us. And because David has this image of God as being like a shepherd, he is able to say in verse 4, if you turn there, where he says, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me, he says. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And later on, when Jesus appears on the scene in the New Testament, he reveals his identity to the Jews in John chapter 10, that he himself is the good shepherd, which draws parallels with what we read here in this psalm, that Jesus is our shepherd who knows all of us here this morning by name, the shepherd who leaves the 99 to go and search intently for that one that has gone astray, and the shepherd who goes even further than what we read here by willingly laying down his life for his sheep in order to protect us from Satan, from sin and death. And Jesus himself says in John chapter 10 that I am the good shepherd and I lay down my life for my sheep. No one takes it from me, for I lay it down on my own accord. Now, the second image that the psalmist gives of God is that he is a gracious host who has prepared a table of food and drink for us at his banquet. And we see this in verse 5, where David says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Now, last year, when our family were in Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam, we were invited by a local Christian to come to her house for dinner, where she was going to prepare a hot pot for us. It's actually very good weather for hot pot right now. And she very kindly welcomed us into her home, where I was told that she had been busy all day preparing all this food for us. And when we sat down to eat, there was an assortment of seafood, a variety of meats and noodles and vegetables and drinks that was all spread out right in front of us, in front of our team. And that made me feel like an honored guest, that my host would go through all of that work, cooking all day long for someone that she didn't even know, in order to make them feel welcome in her house. And I was so grateful. And as we ate and chatted, we got to hear all about her life, her family, how she became a Christian, how she nearly walked away from the faith, but how God was able to restore her in the end. And all of us had an enjoyable evening, eating and drinking and enjoying the fellowship that we had with our host. And when David describes God as being like a gracious host, he's given us a picture of God who invites us to sit at his table that is filled with food and drink that he has prepared in advance for us. And his care and his provision for us as his honored guest is also expressed in verse 8, where he says, you anoint my head with oil, which nowadays kind of sounds weird, but in this culture, it was a way of honoring your guests before the meal. And that he causes my cup to overflow, it says, meaning that God gives us his very best in the same way that my host in Vietnam literally gave us the very best that she had. But what is most powerful about this image of God as being our host is that despite our sin and our sense of unworthiness to come before Him, He says to us all, come, come and sit at my table. It doesn't matter if you feel worthy or not, because the invitation is for you to come as you are. In the same way that it wouldn't have mattered to my host in Vietnam whether I felt worthy or not to eat her food, because she simply wanted me to come and sit at her table and enjoy the food and fellowship together. That's what God is like. He is our gracious host. And we see this in verse 5, that God has put aside your sin. He's put it aside because He wants you to sit with you and to fellowship with you this morning. And in this ancient culture, and even in many cultures today, particularly in Arabic and of course Asian culture, the idea of two people, a host and their guest, sitting with each other at a dinner table and connecting with one another over a meal is actually a sign of a close bond and a desire for a relationship with one another. We see in verse 6 that after David presents these two images of God as being our shepherd and our gracious host, he concludes his reflection by declaring with absolute trust in God. In verse 6, turn there with me, where he says, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, as I read and reflect on this psalm, as I read this week, I thought to myself, and I suspect this is relevant to many of you here as well this morning, that why is it that we often fail to speak of God in such intimate terms in the same way that David does in this psalm? Why? Is he a super Christian? Does he have an extra dose of the Holy Spirit that I don't have? No, it's neither of these things. So I think the reason is because we have simply forgotten what it means to be sheep. We have forgotten that as sheep, we are called upon to follow our shepherd with confidence and trust because of his goodness and his care for us. It's not a glamorous identity to have, is it? You are like a sheep. You know, sheep are amongst one of the most stupidest animals. And yet that is exactly what we are. Sorry if that offended you. For if we were without Christ, if we were without our shepherd, we would undoubtedly wander off into the presence of wolves, and we will be destroyed by them. We are called to be sheep, church. And there is never a moment in your Christian life that you will ever cease to be a sheep. But still, what does it look like for us to be sheep, particularly in times when we walk through the darkest valleys? Some of you have gone through dark periods of depression that not many of us know about. Some of you may have been victims of some form of abuse, perhaps by a family member that you refuse to think or talk about. Some of you have come to a point where perhaps you were an inch away from throwing your faith away altogether because of your doubts in God and His goodness to you. Some of you are probably dealing with fear this morning, fears about the future. And what if things don't turn out the way that I want them to? Then what will happen then? But in all these circumstances, will you trust in God, your shepherd, that He will lead and guide you in His tender care along the path, again, that would lead to your restoration? Will you trust that God, your shepherd, will provide everything that you need in abundance. That even if the future looks uncertain for you right now, you can still confidently say, I shall not be in want, because His goodness and His love will follow me for the rest of my days. And before we finish, I'd like to share with you two images. Thanks, Ben. There's the first image where me, my wife Jenny, and our kids decided a few years ago that we wanted to do a farm stay for our family vacation down in Kangaroo Valley, down south, about 2 years ago it was. And on the farm that we stayed at, there was a variety of animals that lived on the farm, including a sheep by the name of Bootsy, who the farmer had introduced us to. This is my sheep, Bootsy. Oh, nice to meet you. And when the farmer called out her name, Bootsy, she immediately came running. She immediately came running towards her owner, even though she was like far, far away. She knew. But later when my four-year-old daughter, Abby, tried to call out to her, Bootsy, she kept her distance from us and gave us this confused look, like that confused look right there, as if to say to us, I've got no idea who you are. I'm not coming to you. Now, as I said, it's true that sheep are not the brightest of animals. But at the same time, they know who their shepherd is. They recognize their shepherd's voice. And they will come and follow when their shepherd calls for them. And this next image, thanks Ben, that I want to end on, is of a man named Marco. He's from Northern Italy. And Marco gave up his job as an architect in order to become a sheep farmer in the Tuscan Hills in Italy, where his job involved moving his sheep from field to field so that they would be well provided for. And one of the things that Marco said he enjoyed most about his new life is the special bond that he shared with his sheep. And if you just simply look at this image behind me, the expression of the sheep is one of joy, isn't it? Delight. A sheep that feels safe with him because he knows his shepherd. He trusts in him. And likewise, the expression of the shepherd is one of love, of care, affection, provision of his sheep. But will you make a decision, friends, this morning to trust in Jesus, to rest in his safe hands, and to declare to yourself, to preach to yourself this morning, that I will trust in the voice of my good shepherd. I will follow him wherever he leads me. Will you do that this morning, friends? Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much of this rich imagery that you give, that you are our good shepherd and our gracious host. We thank you that as your sheep, you know us all by name. You provide for us, you protect us, you lead us to safety. We pray, Father, that this morning that you would help us by your Holy Spirit to trust in the strong name of Jesus, even through our most darkest moments, and that you would restore us whatever we are going through this morning. Help us to trust in you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.